Well, let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago. On a Friday afternoon, the March soft red winter wheat at $7.76.5 was up 8 for the day. May futures at $7.84.75, 7.75 higher in July. Your harvest month in the wheat at $7.88.5, a settlement up 6.25. The hard red at $8.40.25 in Kansas City finished 8 cents lower. March corn futures 7.20.75, down 3.5. The May at 7.21.5, and these are settlements, down 2.75. July corn 7.12.75, down 2.5 cents, and September at 6.07.25, a penny lower. Your new crop December, $5.84.25, down 1.25 for the day. The March contract of next year at $5.94.25, down 1.25 cents. March beans up 5.75 today to settle at $14.41 a bushel. May at $14.26, up 2.25. July up 0.25 cent at $14.17.75. And the September beans settled at $13.42.5, down 3.5 cents. November's at $13.03, down 2.75. Bean meal futures at $416.40, and they were up $1.70. Bean oil at $52.10 finished a penny lower on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 25th day of January. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us is Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hey, Todd. Happy Friday, sir.
Happy Friday to you as well. You've been busy with a couple of things. I know you were in Pontiac this week. With Dave Dickey, right?
Yes, had a fantastic meeting up there at the Elks Club. Our thanks to everybody there.
That was a good meeting. And then one of our listeners, a Missouri Extension agent in the Boot Heel, had you come down to Sykeston and put a market meeting on there. I think that was last night or the night before, maybe.
Yeah, just yesterday I was down there and had a fantastic meeting down there with a lot of nice producers. The Boot Heel producers are a lot like the Central Illinois and Central Indiana producers. That just like us, they're worried about the drought, and they're also worried about the prices staying high. And they're fighting that same battle that we found in Pontiac, and essentially we're finding all over the Midwest. Whether you're traveling or I'm traveling, we're hearing the same thing. The concern is, and I think rightfully so, is that the new crop prices are going to have a tough time staying this high without the supply and weather-driven market. And I think that's what maybe one of the bigger points that I try and point out in these meetings is 2012 was more like 1988 than it was like 1996. So when David Reinbaugh invited me down there, that was one of the big things to talk about is how do you do that? They down there have river basis and irrigation to give them more flexibility, but that comes at the expense of not being able to use the crop insurance as much as a tool due to the bottom ground and maybe their APH is not being high enough to really protect them. So they're a little bit unique in that respect, and that was some of the things that we threw back and forth. A great learning meeting for me as much as then, I'm sure.
Yeah, their crop insurance premium should be pretty high, and they will probably go up again this year, I would think, too.
I would think that, too, and like you've been reporting, the exact opposite of what we're probably facing in central Illinois and Indiana.
It's the fringe areas or the areas that are further out that have more volatility in how well their crops do year in and year out that are on the end of that, and they're likely to see higher premiums here in the northern two-thirds of the state of Illinois and the upper two-thirds of the Midwest, much less likely to see higher crop insurance rates and lower ones instead in this coming month. How do you deal with that for them, just out of curiosity? What kinds of things did you tell them?
The big point that we came to the conclusion on was I really think between their river basis and the fact that they're irrigated, and we recall that they're doing a lot more wheat, and from what I saw, it's true. The USDA number had Missouri soft red wheat acres up, I think, 27%. I think that was a fair number based upon what I saw from Cairo on south into Sykeston. I think what I tried to present was the idea is I'm pretty friendly to the wheat market, give the wheat a chance to rally, but come back around and get those new crop beans locked in relatively early, even if you don't have a good crop insurance policy, because one of the fellows that I work with in near Memphis, Tennessee, was telling me the river bid for new crop beans was 15 over right now, and it's normally 30 to 40 under. So there's about 60 to 65 cents to play with just right there. And I think that gives me the comfort that, okay, as a marketing person, if I'm wrong about one side or the other, at least they've got the more profitable $13 beans hedged, especially with a historically tight basis. And if I'm wrong on the wheat, their yields are big and the prices go down and the weather market never really happens, least I didn't leave them hanging out on both.
Right, so you're having them hedge both wheat and their double crop soybeans then?
Leaving the wheat alone for right now,
okay.
But moving fairly aggressively between now and the end of February to get their beans hedged, especially if we can get into the mid-1350s. I think that's probably an area, and I heard our heard your conversation with Dan Zwicker yesterday. I couldn't agree more that it seems to me, and this is something else I'll be talking about next week, I'll be talking about a research paper I'm just completing on the commodity super cycle up at the top producer meeting in Chicago. It seems to me between the dollar and the interest rates, and you had asked Dan about this yesterday, that it really strikes me that they are tailwinds right now to the commodity producers. I think they're going to be more headwinds as we get to the second half of the year, mainly because the equities markets and that cheaper dollar are probably cyclically due for a turn, and because the equities markets has been such a big, substantial portion of our stronger growth economically, if we see the equities markets go down, I think that takes our GDP down, and as a result of that, we're kind of the dog and China's kind of the tail at this point. If we lose and slip in gross domestic product, I think China will as well, and that's where the beans really kind of become a double whammy, especially Brazil's 80-plus million tons.
Yeah, but the Fed to this point has really been confident that it's going to hold interest rates lower. Do you think inflation will creep in?
I do. I think what Dan was talking about yesterday in Latin America, historically, Todd, that's a very good leading indicator. When you see Brazil, Argentina, and some of these other countries, Canada, you know, other countries, these commodity currency countries is what they're called, many of them emerging markets, and they're the same emerging markets that have been responsible for this commodity boom and this commodity super cycle. When they start to have to fight inflation, A, they're not going to have as many tools. It's interesting to note because the World Bank and the IMF have been doing a lot of work lately, and one of the World Bank papers that just came out, they noted that the nominal interest rates, the central bank lending interest rates, are actually lower as an aggregate than they were when we were at the height of the financial crisis. So there's actually more loose money around in this world than there was at the height of the financial crisis. That's where I think you run into real headwinds with GDP as we get to the second half of 2013. And that, I think, directly relates to that commodity cycle.
So let's bring that discussion, what we talked about with our Boot Hill friends, and how you might protect them for wheat, and in particular for soybeans for hedging. Does that work in central Illinois and Indiana?
It actually works better because what I'm trying to use is a paper position in New Crop November right here, right now, with the idea that if I'm wrong and this weather market goes in South America, it's going to go in the next 30 days, and that's going to bring our base price up probably maybe pretty dramatically. And if I have to take a paper loss on hedging right now, I'd rather do that at the expense of seeing my base price go up. And if I get a real high base price in February, then I can look at adding to my percentage increase in insurance and for bean crop insurance. I've actually heard the exact opposite by many people. You probably have too, is that because the yields were better, farmers are probably looking at less bean crop insurance as far as percentage. I'm arguing the higher we go in February, go ahead and take a higher level and actually use that as your hedge with the October price. In other words, you won't have to lock in as aggressively your cash bushels if, you know, between now and June, July, if you have a higher Fed base price, you have an actual hedge in place for the October fall price. And so that gets you out of worrying about hedging too early with the drought.
You want to take a look at the numbers that came out from USDA this afternoon?
Big cattle on-feed report, probably the biggest in a year. The on-feed placements and marketings number all at extreme levels. Very bullish on-feed numbers at 94%. Placements, very bullish at 99%. And marketings, very bullish at 98%. The highest number for marketings was 95. So this is a kind of a report, maybe not good for the corn guy, but it should entice the market to want to maybe get the feeders to finish to heavier weights. That leads me to think that maybe that 134.20 major high in live cattle just put in this past month, we may go back and revisit that as a result of this report.
So all in all, it's fewer cattle, less
fewer
feeding.
Fewer cattle placed, fewer cattle on feed, and we're pushing them out the door better.
Yeah, so they're moving fewer cattle, but they're moving quickly through the door. Still less to feed, I suppose.
Absolutely, and that's where your weights become a big thing, is if you don't entice the fat cattle market, in terms of the futures market, doesn't entice the feeders to hold on, especially if corn prices start to go up, right, that becomes a real big issue where you see retail beef prices really climb quickly and corn can't take advantage of that because your actual numbers are going down.
Any thought and projections for the corn market as it makes its way through the month of February, crop insurance setting month, of course? Can it stay in the 580, 96, 610 area?
Yeah, I think 625 December futures is fairly easy to get to if you see a 90 cent to a dollar rally on wheat.
On an average, really?
Yeah, I think that if you can get a wheat-led rally here like 2010, the wheat-corn spread in 2010 went to 350 over, and it was essentially sitting right where it's at right now going into the first part of spring. And by June, July, the wheat-corn spread was $3.50 over in the wheat. So if we could get a rally faster or earlier and, you know, in the next 20, 30 days led by the wheat, I think that the new crop wheat and the drought fear would put the funds in the new crop corn because the price distinction between these corn of 580 and, you know, July, March, and May corn of 720 suggests to me if you're worried about drought, then you're going to probably buy the new crop.
Well, in that case, buy lots of crop insurance and, well, hedge it all.
Well, I think this is where
there'll be a lot of corn acres.
Yeah, I mean, this is where it really goes to. I need to dot my I's and cross my T's. I know there's a limit to the upside on crop insurance. I think it was $1.50 or $3. I'm not sure there's a limit to the downside, but
right,
be that as it may, if there's no limit, I think the higher you go in February, the more aggressive you can be between, and diversify is the name of the game here. Don't do too many hedge derives. Don't do too many basis contracts. Don't do too many paper contracts. Spread them out so that you have flexibility in the middle of the year.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report.